technical problem there. Mm-hmm. We've had various technical problems, haven't we, over the years?
This is the royal we.
It's the collective being we, isn't it? Anything that happens to one of us happens to all of us. Anything that happens to all of us together happens to us all individually as well.
Individual successes, collective failures. Right, yeah. Very collective failure, that one.
Very collective failure, that one, technically, wasn't it?
We could hear you.
Yeah, you could hear what I was saying. I couldn't hear what you were saying. But I'm really, really sorry about that. But what happened was my headphones... So often it's a comedically simple thing that's gone wrong, isn't it? So there was once when, for example, I hadn't plugged in the thing far enough. Mm. Do you remember that?
Oh, very, very fondly.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, it's a cliche, but the on and off again thing, it does apply a lot of the time, doesn't it? Sometimes there'll be something so simple. And this time I'd plugged my headphones into the wrong aperture on my... On my digi box, right? But what I'd like to explain to you both is what happened there was I became flustered.
You did have the look of a trapped bird about you.
That's what happens. I develop upside down swan vibes.
You can see you futilely thrashing your legs in the air as the brain end of you drowns.
Yeah. And so what's happening there is my brain essentially shut down functions. All it has left is the thrashing function, which is the most primordial movement there is, isn't it? It's thrashing. Thrashing.
It's useful for fight or flight, isn't it? You thrash in either.
It's what you would do if you were put into a huge soup. You would thrash. You'd thrash about. So the primordial soup was essentially just organisms thrashing.
To thrash is to be alive.
The Amazon, think of it. Over 5,000 billion thrashing movements per second. It's extraordinary. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I can always feel the thrashing. Endless, meaningless, constant thrashing.
When we are born, we thrash. And if you're unlucky, when you die, you also thrash.
And in between, if you're lucky, you'll experience some consensual thrashing. Know what I mean?
We all live betwixt the two great unknown thrashings, don't we?
Well, Henry, as an Arsenal fan, you're no stranger to thrashings, are you?
Oh, ouch. Sport banter.
Very good.
Sport banter, just when he was just getting over his fluster as well.
We might need a sports banter jingle, actually.
Soft target.
It's quite rare that we do it, but...
When I do it, it's impactful, though.
It's impactful. Oh, yeah. When I really know I'm flustered is when I have the thought...
I need to call Ben.
Well, that's one of the first signs. Is I need to call Ben. And when I'm having that thought while actually already talking to Ben, you know it's going bad because things were getting so tense right there that Ben was trying to help me and I thought, I need Ben to help me out with this interaction right now. And of course, there is a second AI Ben that you've created, haven't you, for that situation, but he's still not very good. He's got loads of fingers, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's got the face and head of Glen Campbell for some reason.
That's right. a sexy Glen Campbell, though. That's just a pun. I've no idea who Glen Campbell is.
The soup magnate.
Is that who he is?
No, I was referring to the Wichita lineman country singer.
You know what? That's a good song. That song gets punted to me by Spotify a lot.
Does it?
I don't know why. I don't know what the algorithm's decided, but I quite often end up listening to the song about the Wichita lineman is still down the line. Do, 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 do. It's a really good
That's
song.
It's very good.
Is it about a guy who essentially works like doing like signals on trains or something? No.
No. It's about a man maintaining electrical wires and telephone wires, I think.
Wow.
Has that improved it for you or ruined it for you?
I don't know. It's quite a kind
it's
of...
It's an amazingly unromantic job that he's turned into a very romantic sounding sort of ballad.
I am a lineman for the county.
Yeah.
I don't know the song. I'm going to have to...
You don't know the song, Wichita Lineman? I genuinely think it has the record as the most played song of the 20th century.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
Worldwide.
Is that why Spotify chucks it at me a lot?
Have I dodged that?
It feels like a very middle-aged song, doesn't it? Because it's very much not about romantic love or like that kind of stage of life. It's a stage of life where you've got
You just want a clear, steady purpose.
Yeah, yeah. A small but important part of the great machine.
Mm-hmm. It is very romantic. Isn't it somebody who's maintaining the electrical infrastructure of the United States while thinking about his love for his girl?
Mm. But also maintaining the electrical infrastructure.
Also, crucially, maintaining the infrastructure.
Which is so vital to the lifeblood of a country.
He's got a lot on his plate.
So what is the lines? What are the lines? Electrical lines?
Yeah.
I mean, do we have linesmen and lineswomen in this country?
Yeah, with their big rubber gloves on.
I assume some, so, in their big rubber boots. Pulling frisbees out of pylons all day long.
I pulled another frisbee out today. How can birds sit on the wires?
Where do the birds buy their rubber boots? Nobody will tell me.
I can't believe, Mike, you've never heard it. This is weird.
It is weird.
We have to get you to listen to it and then react to it live and put it out as a Patreon extra.
Because it sounds right up my street as well.
I mean, you'd love it. I think as soon as you hear it, you'll recognise it.
Folky Kansas tale. Yes, please.
What have you been up to this week, Mike?
On Thursday, I treated a new pair of walking boots.
What did you treat them to? A pizza?
Some protective leather spray and a lovely little brisk break-in walk. It's time for Provincial Dad Chat. Who's hit my bloody walking boots?
I'm not saying it's ruined the holiday. I'm just saying I asked for rum raisin.
Get your skates on, kids, otherwise we'll miss the inflatable session.
She's taking her mother to see Blood Brothers, which means more Top Gear time for me.
Why would I need to go and see a podiatrist?
Of course I've kept the warranty information, darling.
Oh, what are we talking? Gore-Tex or just leather?
These are designed for dry conditions.
You bought the protective spray.
Oh, yeah.
You're one of those guys. When they try and sell you the practice.
Oh, yeah, I'm a sucker for that. Easy peasy, yeah, yeah.
I've got a cupboard full of protective sprays and extra waxes that I've not used. The amount of wax I've got.
Yeah, I'm a complete sucker for a salesperson of any kind. Yeah.
I'm a total sucker. You know what happened to me once? I was buying a pair of shoes and the guy went, just quickly, before you buy the shoes, just have a quick look at this. And he took some shoes, or like a display shoe, sprayed it with something.
And it vanished.
And then he poured a glass of water over it. And the water just sort of trickled off. Ooh. And it blew my mind.
Look at the beading on that.
Ooh. Look at the ultra wicking.
It's wicking straight off. I think that's just what happens if you pour water on a shoe, though. I think it just falls off. What else is it going to do? It's water. I mean,
it's not going to boil, is it? How many things can water do?
It's not going to boil. It's not going to freeze. But I'm a bit of a sucker for that stuff. There are some classic upselling things which really annoy me. Have you had the one of when you go and buy a picture frame for something, which is always really expensive? For some reason, it's an industry, that and cashew nuts, for some reason, just absolutely take the piss.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, my children have already been told, you're going into framing or cashews. That's it.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Because that's where the big money is.
Mm.
Or goalkeeper. That's another one that's always good.
Yeah.
Just get some big gloves. You basically just stand still and you'll be incredibly rich, but you just have to be able to be asked to go in goal repeatedly throughout your childhood. And most people can't. Yeah, cashew nuts. And yeah, picture frames. So picture frames, incredibly expensive for some reason to go and get something framed.
Because you'll often buy something like a print, it'll cost £20, and then you find out that in order for it to be on your wall, altogether it's going to cost £80. And then suddenly you're like, fuck.
Exactly.
Why?
Why? And it's more than the art. It's more than the... Yeah. But what happens is you'll go along and you go, all right, fine, I'll get it. Okay, I'm going to pay to get it framed. I've accepted a certain amount. And it's a lot. So you're already a bit annoyed. And then the guy will go, okay, so that's, you know, £50, let's say.
And if you're lucky.
And you've accepted it, if you're lucky, right? And then we'll go, and do you want it with the special glass? And I'm like... Oh, you
bastard.
Of course I want the special glass. It's special. What do you think I am?
I want the special glass now.
Things that are special are things that are wanted. That is the definition of special. Why are you even asking me the question?
So you'll probably want to be able to see this this artwork once it's framed. So you'll need the special glass. What is the special glass?
It's non-reflective. That's what it is. So he'll say, do you want it in the non-reflective glass? And you'll go, not surely, guys. you know, you've already, you like the idea of what you're about to buy, but then he's introduced this brand new concept, which is non-reflective glass. Then, when you're kind of debating this in your head and already feeling annoyed, you having to spend more money, he then pulls out a little kind of, a little sort of object. He's got this object with bits of frame, it's sort of designed essentially to dupe you out of money, a kind of deception plinth that he pulls out, which has sort of example frames, essentially. Mm. Yeah, then he shows you the one you're about to buy, and suddenly you look at it, and all you can see is light reflecting into your face. Like, oh, God, oh, I can barely... because it reflects.
And he says, do you want to see the art, or do you want to see your own stinking visage looking back at you?
What he's basically telling you is, you can either get the one with non-reflective glass, or you can get the shit one that I also sell. Does it matter if glass is reflective? Is that real? Is that kind of load of bollocks? Because I've been told that apparently anything to do with glasses happens. So it happens with glasses as well, sunglasses. They go, do you want the polarized version, yes, or whatever? And apparently, I've heard rumours that that is complete balls, that polarized isn't a thing. It's not even a word. There's nothing. It's complete.
This is the equivalent of Henry going against Big Pharma.
It's
the increasingly anti-science Henry Packer.
It's like big cats, as if they don't exist.
There are just small trees. It's an issue of perspective.
It's like Haagen-Dazs. You know, Haagen-Dazs isn't real.
Well, it is real.
No, the ice cream's real, but the name is made up.
All names are made up.
There's no such... No, but there's no such thing as Haagen-Dazs. It's made up to sound like it's Belgian or something, or Flemish or something. I don't know. But it's just two American guys.
But hang on, is Henry? Are you saying that there's been some kind of, there's been some sort of phonetic workshop?
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere that has worked out the most delicious, enticing, luxury-sounding name.
You put two A's in a row, Haagen. You stick a umlaut on the whatever. Yeah, Haagen-Dazs. Because it sounds like. Yeah. That's what happens.
Okay.
So, Mike, with your new mountain walking shoes, obviously that's a bit of excitement. It's quite nice to get the spray on it.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
But on the other side of that coin, you're saying goodbye to the old trusty pair.
No.
You keep those to your hands? what happens to the old one?
The old ones will stick around just in case.
Get your dog to piss in them?
They'll stick around. I will keep them just in case. I won't have a good scenario of what that just in case is, and I'll keep them probably for 25 years until they have been eaten by some sort of rodent in the attic, at which point I will comfortably be able to throw them away, but not before they've utterly disintegrated. Too premium an item.
Fair.
It can't just be chucking that stuff out. No way.
Of course, sir. These are a life investment piece, so... But by all means, don't rub the cream into them. I mean, you know, by all means, buy the shoes with the reflective glass on them, yeah. So that you'll be bedazzled wherever you go, probably walk off a cliff.
You know how we talked about how he wanted to book in a Three Bean Salad podcast live tour only going to remote British overseas territories?
Yeah.
Sure. It's a lot of paperwork, but it's going to happen.
Somebody emailed us to say that the Hawaiian flag, they lived in Hawaii, the Hawaiian flag has got the Union Jack in the corner.
It does, which I've always been very, very confused about.
Yeah.
It seems a really... I don't know why it's there. I'm also mostly baffled as to how it stayed there.
Yeah, incredible. But it does mean that we can finish off the tour in Maui.
Nice.
Ooh, there we go.
With our special guest, The Rock.
So it doesn't have to be an official overseas territory. It can just be...
As long as it's got the Union Jack on it, I think we can
There's
do
a trace
it.
Of a flag.
Yeah.
So we can include Commonwealth nations.
Also, we're planning to be the first podcast tour to play both Turks and Caicos in the same night, aren't we? It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be just us playing to sort of five or six British diplomats on sort of bare rocks.
Yeah, and the occasional sort of refuelment depot in Ascension, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was looking them up last night, and I was looking up Tristan da Cunha, the capital of which is called Edinburgh of the Seven Seas, which is...
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, didn't know that. That's really cool. Nice.
But next to it is an island called, and I think this is where we need to take the tour, as a bit of a challenge. Its name is Inaccessible Island.
Challenge accepted.
Is that somewhere near the Antarctic or something? I feel like I've heard of that.
I don't actually know where it is on the globe.
Is that actually a...
Yeah, British overseas territory called Inaccessible Island. It's surrounded on all sides by cliffs.
South Atlantic. There we go.
The cliffs have been named. They've got names. And one of the cliffs is called, and this is on the map, Where the Pig Fell Off.
I want to go there so much, but it's inaccessible.
I feel like this wasn't colonized by the top best of the best, the creme de la creme of the British kind of empire builders.
Well, it wasn't colonized by anyone, hence the name. And if you've seen a picture, the cliffs are sheer. So presumably this wasn't even anyone's pig. This was presumably someone saw that pig fall off from a boat.
Well, no. So the British tried to populate it with pigs because they thought, may as well try and do something.
What, just with it. Give them a few years, come back in 600 years and see what they've done with the place.
Well,
no, I think that's a good way to test out whether humans can live here, because biologically they're the most similar animal to us, aren't they? So stick a bunch of pigs on it for a fortnight, come back, have they had a good time or not?
Well, I'll tell you if they had a good time or not. Essentially, they all just fell off.
Oh, no. Because they're not goats, are they? They're not. They haven't got the hoof structure.
All the pigs fell off, and we thought, well, that's it. We probably won't bother with that anymore.
If you'd been a shark that day, you'd be like, am I in heaven? What the...
Sausage rain.
Sausage rain. It's sausage rain. This can't be happening.
Do I tell the other sharks about this? Because, I mean, if they hear that I've kept this to myself, they'll think I'm a real douchebag. But this is amazing. I'm having the time of my life here. But I can't be a hero amongst the sharks. But equally, I want to eat all the massive sausages, the screaming sausages. I want them to myself.
Solo feeding frenzy. Solo feeding frenzy. It's happening.
It's time to thrash. 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 Thrash.
They're not even swimming away. They can't swim away. They don't have fins. This is unbelievable.
Like those weird pre-whales I heard about. What is happening here?
Sausage rain. Sausage rain. Sausage rain. Sausage rain.
I've just looked up, I've just seen on the internet that Inaccessible Island is home to the endemic Inaccessible Island rail, the world's smallest extant flightless bird.
Ooh.
Yeah, apparently they're successful because there are no predators on the island, because nobody can get on there and all the pigs fell off.
That's all going to change at the Beans live show.
The first podcast live show to wipe out a species. Anyway, this chat takes us squarely into the flightless bird zone. And of course, we'd usually play our jingle for that. But someone sent one in. We've had an email from a man called Sam in La France. Cher Haricot. Bean friends?
Dear Beans.
Mm. Oh. I covered a new jingle for your excellent podcast, or rather, I anti-covered one.
Mm.
It occurred to me as I was listening to your recent episode that your flightless bird zone jingle was somewhat marginalising for birds who can actually fly. I've decided to right that wrong. Once again, I made a French song. He's the man who sent us a previous French song.
Oh, yeah.
Composed of two distinct parts. A more old-school folk tune and a kitschy modern pop rock song. I connected them the only way I know how, with smooth jazz and bird sounds. It's called Le Vrai Oiseau. Mm. Brackets, volant dans la ciel.
The real birds flying in the sky.
This jingle may also act as an audio game for provincial dads who can try to recognise the sound of different birds included in this piece, such as the robin, goose, crane, or the tinamous tau bird.
Mm-hmm. Also open to provincial mums.
Or those without children.
And also those who don't live in the provinces.
Anyway, let's play it.
Les oiseaux volent dans le ciel, les vrais oiseaux utilisent leurs ailes à bon escient.
That was absolutely brilliant.
Incroyable.
That was superb.
Can I say, the production on that really, really reminded me of George Harrison's 1987 album, Cloud Nine.
I like Cloud Nine.
I like Cloud Nine. Do you know what I mean about the production?
I see what you're saying.
The crispness and that there's that guitar, that kind of that's quite Beatlesy and stuff. I don't want to open up a guitar conversation. but that was absolutely brilliant.
He sent us the lyrics.
So good.
You can translate for us, maybe, Henry.
Wonderful.
Les vrais oiseaux volant dans le ciel.
The true birds flying in the sky.
Les vrais oiseaux volant dans le ciel.
The true birds or real birds flying in the sky.
Les vrais oiseaux utilisant le ailes à bon escient.
That's the real birds using their wings to ascend, maybe?
Ils planant.
Yeah. They glide.
Ils planant et si demandant. Pourquoi d'autres oiseaux utilisant les jambes?
I think it's they glide and ask themselves, why do other birds use their legs?
Well, thank you, Samuel. That was absolutely fantastic.
Thanks, Samuel.
So, Inaccessible Island, I think that's on the list of Bean Live shows. We'll have to be airdropped onto it.
And they'll end up renaming those cliffs where the beans fell off.
Where Mike fell off. Where Ben fell off. And where Henry fell off.
Where Henry fell off the pig.
Yeah, we'll be airdropped, the three of us, a pig each. see what we can create society-wise.
Well, yes, so listen out for dates.
It's brilliantly positioned. I'm looking at it on the map on Wikipedia. It couldn't be more in the middle of the ocean. It's sort of equidistant between South America and Africa, it looks like.
Yeah, guys, get your tickets. It's only a 7-day voyage by sea from Cape Town.
Hello, Inaccessible Island!
Let's turn on the bean machine. This week's topic, as sent in by Gavin. Thank you, Gavin.
Thank you, Gavin.
Is oats.
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 Well, I'm ingesting a huge amount of oats at the moment because I'm drinking 2 or 3 oat milk, iced oat milk lattes a day.
Of course you are.
Oat is the biggest milk now. Oat is huge.
No.
There's so much oat everywhere. It's not as big as...
It's very sweet. It's a bit
it can
sweet,
be. It's not as big as cow, but it's the second biggest after cow, I'd say.
Okay.
Oat is huge.
Soya?
I think it might even be bigger than soya now. There's a lot of oat. I mean, obviously, I'm in London. I'm plugged into this stuff. I'm just hearing oat a lot.
Do you know what I don't like? Is when you ask for an alternative milk, like oat. And I actually, these days, go for oat.
Do you?
Yeah, rather than normal milk. For taste reasons, more than anything else.
Well, because I do it. I do it as well. And I don't really know why.
I don't like that it's more expensive. They put on a supplement. How can it be like 50p more to drink something that's made of just smashing some oats together with some water compared to bringing up an animal?
Nurturing it. Loving it.
Loving it.
Reading to it. Isn't it? Because it's the time that you have to put into rearing a proper milk cow, isn't it?
The annual holiday.
Stroking it by moonlight.
Soaping the udders. Seeing it do it. It's first nativity, or it's a tearjerker.
It's second nativity. At that point, you're pretty, not fully tuned in, are you? Because it's been
cast as a cow again. Yeah. Is there any chance she could be an angel this time, please? Just because I don't have a little blonde cow, is that it? Get stuffed.
Going to Clark's to get it its first pair of hooves, and when it puts its hooves, it's a raw stump, isn't it? Before you buy the hooves, but putting the raw foot stumps. In that little machine in Clark's where it goes to measure it. And the little cow often says, well, appears to be enjoying it a little bit because it feels nice.
That feeling is unrivaled.
That feeling sends shivers right up and down my spine.
Ooh, it feels very grown up, doesn't it? No, not that kind of feeling, Mike. The literal physical feeling. Are you not?
Yeah.
Do you not, know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know very much. Yeah, no, I mean, my memory is abysmal of all parts of my life, but that is vivid. That childhood shoe machine time.
Zneal. Pleasure.
So gentle.
Zneal. Pleasure.
so gentle, and yet could crush me like that.
Yeah.
And those early Clark's machines didn't, the early prototypes did, didn't they?
Oh, but they warned you about that.
Snap, we've killed another chuck. Snap, we've killed another. Snap, we've killed another.
Well, it was a thing, wasn't it, where they got together with the Met Police. If your footprint matched a footprint from a crime scene, they would just crush.
Yeah, instantly. but it was just the size, wasn't it? If you had the same size foot.
Yeah.
If you had the exact same size foot as a criminal.
As the cat burglar of Croydon.
Yeah, you'd be gone. But the amount of pleasure that gave, because it gave me tingles all over my bod. Did that happen to you?
Yeah.
Ben?
Yeah, like one of the most kind of profound physical feelings of my life.
Mine were also noteworthy because even as a small child, they would always remark, and I'd get to the point where I'd wait for the remark, ooh, it's rather wide.
Oh, no.
Oh, we can't actually get that into the machine. We're going to have to...
Yeah, did the metal sides barely move?
Your second machine. They just sort of warped. We need the platypus brackets.
But well, it was a lovely feeling, and you knew, so it's left foot, side bits, top bits, tingles. But then you knew that you were halfway through the experience then, you've only got one foot left to do, and then after that, you're only going to have that experience again once your body has actually grown bigger. It's so far away, you know, the next time it's going to happen. It was so poignant to me, that.
Can I say that as an adult, and I am an adult, I'm not fully sure what size my feet are.
Really?
Really. Yeah.
How?
Well,
because of the bean machine adaptations. Because of the withering and the sloughing.
Well, there's been withering and sloughing, but there's also been bloating of the feet, hasn't there?
It depends on the seasons.
You've got size 14 heels, yeah. Size 4. Yeah. Midfeet.
And also incredibly tall ankles.
Yes. You know,
which is very unusual to have tall ankles. But your ankles are, well, they're almost as tall as you, aren't they now?
You've got inverse arching as well, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. And the lacquered balls, yes.
Yeah. We're talking about your feet, Ben, don't change the subject. Also, God. Yeah?
Those are lacquered too, you know that. What it is they don't do that machine on you when you're an adult, because you're meant to know how big your feet are.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it just depends what kind of shoe it is. It'll be a different size seems to fit.
Oh, do you find that? I don't find that with shoes. Trousers, yes. Shoes, no.
One of the great imponderables of clothing retail sales techniques is the way that if a pair of trousers is slightly too small for you, and this might even go for shoes as well, actually, if a pair of shoes is slightly too tight, the salesperson will say, oh, don't worry, they will expand. These trousers will expand over time. Trousers, like everything... expands. The universe expands.
Well, if they're good, well-treated chicken leather trousers, yes, they will, absolutely. Exactly. If you put the spray on and the cream and rubbed it in properly.
Yeah, and the paprika.
The paprika 3 times a day for 4 months before you try it on for the first time, and then sit in a salt bath with them for a full day and night in a full moon.
Got to brine them. Yeah.
And got to brine them. And then whipped with birch.
Then sure enough, these trousers...
Then yes.
These trousers will expand. But that you get essentially different theories on the universe that are expounded to you by these people.
What is the theory? Because the universe is expanding, then these trousers will also expand.
You've not had a salesperson say that to you in a shop? What? Sorry, sir. The very universe itself is expanding, but you seem to believe that these trousers are the exception. Methinks ye are poltroon. Have you ever had that? Yeah. So essentially, you get the expansion theory of the universe, and then, if the trousers are too big, they'll say to you, "Oh, but of course, don't worry. These trousers may seem too big, but of course, they will, of course, contract, won't they? Because all trousers contract. The very universe itself is contracting. Or perhaps you think these trousers are an exception. Methinks you are a boob." Do you know what I'm saying?
To be honest, I normally buy clothes in places where there's no attendant saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's normally just sort of,
piles and piles of Asda. Very similar trousers. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So you'll put them through along with your stir-fried chicken pieces. will you just beep them through along with your pre-chopped stir-fried chicken? Is that what you do? Beep it through.
Well, if they've both got a 3-for-2 sticker on,
yeah.
Ben's going to go for it, isn't he?
You take one of the 3-for-2 stickers off.
You take it off a banana.
Stick it on a pair of trousers. Put it on the trousers. You're a fool not to.
It's the perfect crime.
And I'll put these shorts through as raisins.
Meanwhile, Henry's on German Street having existential debates with snippy tailors.
Ben, how far you've fallen from your Habsburg ancestors? Because think about it, you, 200 years ago, Ben, you, a Habsburg prince.
Yeah.
You'd have been having every part of you individually measured. And every
He's in his live amongst the people phase.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Takes a while. Yeah.
I'm like when the Habsburg prince, as a joke, decides to live as a peasant for the week.
Yeah.
In order to make a hilarious joke.
But you're doing it for 3+ decades.
That's true.
But I've got stuck. I don't believe it. Oh, no.
No, I am the prince. Why does nobody believe me? Let me back into the palace.
I'm just going to put on these chicken pieces. I put on the chicken pieces like they're trousers. I got mixed up. Oh, no.
I can prove it. Look, I have 2 belly buttons. Look at my 2 belly buttons. Only Habsburg has this.
And I've just bloody stir-fried a pair of cargo pants. Oh, for the love of God, this would make a great sitcom. Oh, no. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, no, so this happens. They'll say to you, don't worry, sir, these trousers will contract.
They won't say contract, they'll say shrink.
They'll say shrink because everything is shrink. No, because they'll say, because next time you wash them, they'll shrink. So there are two opposite things happening to trousers.
Stretch and shrink.
And both of them are equally true. Stretch and shrink. They're both stretching and shrinking.
Buy our classic new stretch and shrink trousers.
Are they expanding or contracting or bothing? It doesn't matter. Because they're comfy as heck. You know what? This reminds me of something. I'm getting a lot of flyers at the moment, a lot of ads. This is both in physical form and digital form, targeted ads to do with trousers that have like a lot going on, like trousers that offer. Are you getting this stuff?
No. What do you mean? Like kind of cargo pant type, multi pocket.
Yeah. A lot of
down to shorts type.
Also, trousers that are being, they're claiming to be able to do things that are incredible, like
emotionally intelligent trousers.
Emotionally intelligent.
Well, they could like write up like simple contracts and that kind of thing.
They can look after a cat for a week while you go to France.
Yeah. I'm honestly getting that. It's like these trousers, they're shrinkable, they're stretchable. They're omni trousers. You can take them up, you can take them down, you can set fire to them. These trousers are indestructible and comfy. Are you getting this stuff?
No.
I'm getting sent a lot of stuff, and I'm getting a lot of my ads on YouTube clips, you know, like little ads that are coming to you, will be someone talking about a pair of trousers, that these trousers changed my life. It's a chino which you can scuba in. It's scuba chinos.
Welcome to the chi, yes. Anything you can dream of, the chi, yes, can achieve it for you. Scuba, kayak, the great novels, in summary. Hat making.
Because we believe there's no such word as chin possible. You see a problem, I see a chinlution.
How did this relate to oats?
We were talking about shoes. We can't take it straight back to oats. Can we take it back to shoes first?
Retrace it step by step.
Yeah, we can need to retrace it step by step. We've got it.
So we're going to go back through what we've talked about again and then further back.
Yeah.
It sounds like one of the hardest listening experiences I can think of.
Yeah. We're going to Hansel and Gretel this shit.
Let's push an old woman into an oven.
About 220 degrees fan assisted, I reckon.
Open and based occasionally. You've got a baste.
Yeah.
And then for God's sake, leave it to sit for at least 20 minutes.
It's got to rest.
Yeah. And that's when you can make the human slough gravy.
But I can't even remember how we got from oats to shoes.
The point with shoes is, Ben, you were saying you don't know what shoe size you are.
Yes.
I agree with that.
You agree that Ben doesn't know what shoe size
I agree
is.
With that.
I disagree with him. There we go.
No, I also don't know what shoe size I am because I'm sometimes 10, sometimes 11.
Right, so how do we get back to oats?
Yeah, okay, I think you're right, Ben.
But how did we get to shoes?
How did we get to shoes?
We got onto the clutch.
We began with one of you, well, maybe it was you, Ben, was appalled at the price difference between a cow's milk.
This is it. We were talking about
milk.
Cows going to get there. Who's done?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So how does it cost more to get oat milk when you've had to raise an animal?
Don't we get quite a lot? This is, do you want a boring answer? I mean, it's all I've got. Don't quite a lot of our oats come from quite a long way away these days?
No, that's the good thing about oats, right? So oats are the most environmentally friendly alternative milk because we create a lot of oats nearby.
What from?
But I think we import a lot of oats as well, don't we? As well?
guys, you know, we used to talk about how if the podcast was just you two, it would be talking about
oat imports. Yeah, I think, Henry, I think you can take the rest of the day off. I think we're
1998, 680 tons. 1999, 710 tons. Through the port of Felixstowe alone.
Hang on, is that imports or exports? What are we talking here?
That's got to be imports.
Imports from the EU, I'm going to suggest, largely.
That was from Ukraine, I think.
Ukraine, okay, fine.
Yeah,
okay.
So it'd been through the Black Sea, around the Mediterranean.
Ukraine was a big exporter of oats. I know Canada's one of the biggest ones in the world. I mean, it still remains so, but I mean, they've got the resources and the space and the right sort of acidity of soil.
Well, of course, they used to call it the oat cupboard of Europe. Oats is one of those things. There's lots of things like this, though, where you could probably tell the whole history of the world through oats. And at some point, someone will release...
Someone would have written that book, yeah.
Someone will, or it'll come out soon. It'll be a huge bestseller.
Oh, yeah, because there'll be fantastic amounts of... There'll be bloodbaths, there'll be sex, there'll be intrigue, all to be king or queen oat.
The sexy and deadly tale of oats. The Sunday Times number one bestseller.
Game of Oats. Now a Netflix series. Starring Idris Elba. We need you back for one last oat. I told you, I don't trade oats anymore.
But I tell you, if I can control the oats, we will control Europe.
So there'll be a theory, won't there, of the world that it's all
about
a bit
oats. Like that book Sapiens that was quite big.
That was all about wheat, wasn't it?
Wheat, yeah. The history of humanity can be explained by... We've been kidnapped by wheat, is what
that was a lot of make. Wheat in that one.
So maybe we've moved into the oat era.
Now, oats, to me, and as a city boy, I find anything to do with oats, wheat, barley...
It's all much of a muchness.
It's all a bit
buffy. These are all synonyms as far as
they're all synonyms for the same sort of thing, which is the thing that you get a picture of it on the front of a healthy snack bar. But actually, when I was on holiday in France recently, there was a field full of crops. Crops are swaying every morning. I could see them from a window. And I did that thing... Which I do in films.
Oh, you brushed your hand through the top of the grains
and found a dead body.
No, I took a dump next to a scarecrow. Yeah, I ran my hands through it. And
like,
you know,
in Gladiator when he's thinking about going to the afterlife.
That's right.
I was thinking of Theresa May, but yeah, same.
What happened with Theresa May?
Theresa May was asked, "What's the naughtiest thing you've ever done?"
Watch Gladiator.
And eating lasagna with my hands.
She's got
a knife and fork inside. She was trying to do a bit of myth-making and talked about her childhood running through fields of wheat.
Well, it was more that she was asked the question, like, what's the naughtiest thing you've ever done? She had to very quickly think of something that isn't actually naughty at all.
She couldn't talk about hitting the skunk in her teens, for example.
So she said, well, I think some of the local farmers would be quite angry to know that I ran through some fields of wheat.
My God, that is utterly pathetic, isn't it?
Well, we know what happened to her.
Yeah. Well, she ended up calling a general election and not winning it by a sufficient enough margin to guarantee that her style of Brexit would go through. Is that true?
That was bang on.
For me, porridge is one of those foods which is, and I have this with a lot of different kinds of food, it's right on the cusp of being quite nice or totally gross, depending on almost how I think about it. And kind of get myself into a headspace where I like the idea of porridge. So, and it's quite psychological. For example, I saw the film Phantom Thread. Have you seen that?
No, a bit like porridge. You have to be asked.
Exactly. Yeah, it's sort of like a porridge of films in a way.
I gather it's very good, but I haven't yet been asked.
It's good for you, but
I don't think it's that I necessarily want to see it. I think it's more that I want to see it.
Put it this way: it really helps if while you're watching it, you're pouring honey onto your face throughout the two and a half hours. If you can, that's a way of doing it.
I should try that. I could get through tons of art house must sees if I only didn't know the honey trick.
Also, if you've got a second screen mic, maybe a tablet or a laptop showing the new Top Gear, yeah.
The new
Top Gun is what I was going to say, but Top Gear works as well.
No, the point I was making about the Phantom Thread is, for example, I watched the film Phantom Thread. Now, in the film Phantom Thread, the Daniel Day-Lewis character eats some porridge at the beginning. He orders a big breakfast. Yeah. And it's the thing to do with his character that he likes eating a really big breakfast. And
yeah. And then the buffet he's in is strafed by Tommy Gunfire?
No, I'm afraid not.
I'm just trying to find a reason to watch the film. You haven't given me one yet.
There's no Tommy Gunfire. He's not undercover. There's no spies.
He's literally just a scene of a man eating porridge.
A man eats porridge and then later on he makes some dresses. It's quite hard work, to be honest. But
does he make the dresses upside down at Mach 2, even though people said that it couldn't be done?
No, afraid not. And he doesn't ever flick anyone with a towel either at any point in a changing room.
I'm missing something here.
Yeah, this is all happening in the back of a helicopter, right?
in a Chinook that's trying a very, very daring manoeuvre. It's trying to go through the Channel Tunnel. This has never been done!
We're going to Lille, and there is literally a train in 7 minutes. We could just wait for the train. It'll actually be faster.
It's too late now. We're committed, and this guy's trying to make a dress in the back and eat porridge. Anyway, because of that, I was like, oh, porridges. I just thought, oh, I'm a porridge. And the quality of the porridge he was eating, I thought that really appealed to me. So I had a phase of eating porridge. So I had to cook it very, very smooth and just have it with honey. So when it's very, very smooth and very white, something about the smooth whiteness of it, I can get my brain to think that is appetizing, that's appealing. But as soon as, for example, Mike, you talked about putting fruit in. As soon as you put fruit in it to me, you see bits of like sort of like porridge shrapnel kind of like sitting on the fruit.
I'm very happy with my porridge. I want to feel that. I want to feel the grit going down. The porridge I make is quite thick. I've had complaints in the family that mine is quite...
It's more like a sort of cake.
Oh, it's beyond a cake. It's more like a sort of heavy-duty industrial building material.
But it does have polyfiller qualities.
You could drop it off I would say maybe the... Certainly the second floor, maybe the first floor of a building, if it landed on someone, they'd have a life-changing injury. That's how I like my porridge.
So what you want, Henry, is basically ready bread.
Or cream, I think you want, Henry. Do you just want to have a bowl of cream?
I think it might be that I just want a bowl of cream.
Like a little cat. Here's a tip.
Yeah.
The Phantom Thread soundtrack.
Mm. Bon Jovi?
It's Bon Jovi, yeah.
We're making dresses tonight. Take me all the way to the hem, baby. Hem. And don't forget to put on the washing instructions. Dry clean only. This'll probably be more of a hassle than it's worth to buy. Dry clean only. Can fuck itself. You're going to need to buy an appropriate bra because it's backless.
Oh, tell me about it. Quick thoughts on oatcakes. Top three thoughts.
I've never had one.
You must have had an oatcake. It's not a cake. It's a cracker, essentially.
I know what it is. I've never had one.
Yeah, it's like a thick biscuit.
I don't know how they get them to stick together. That's one of the questions I've always asked myself about oatcakes. How do they get all the oats to stick together?
How do oatcakes stick together? And with that, the podcast reached its nadir.
What a privilege, though, to be aware of your own nadir. You know, I mean, most people aren't. Most people don't realise they're in a state of denial and delusion. But we're feeling it, aren't we?
But maybe it's pure hubris to imagine that we can't get worse than this when we absolutely can. I mean, any final oats thoughts?
Well, the only oats thing I can think of that we haven't covered, but I was quite pleased we haven't covered, is the old sowing of.
Yeah. Yes.
But maybe we can just skip by that.
Yeah. I think we should, because I think, to be honest, it's quite uncomfortable to talk about, and it was even more uncomfortable to wear. It was the most worst jumper I've ever worn, that oat jumper that was sewn for me by Carol.
Okay, we're done. Yeah.
It wasn't the nadir.
Oh, what a huge relief.
There's more depths to plumb.
My one last thought on Oates is this. There's a question, actually, if anyone wants to email in, which is, what is an oat? Just, yeah, don't know.
Great. Well, if you know, do email in. It's threebeansaladpod@gmail.com. Time for your emails.
When you send an email, you must give thanks to the postmasters that came before.
Good morning, postmaster. Anything for me?
Just some old shit.
When you send an email, this represents progress. Like a robot shoeing a horse.
Give me your health.
My beautiful horse.
Hello, Beans. Sometimes after turning on the beam machine, Ben will describe Bremen as a coastal city, or worse, a port city. Bremen is neither of those. It lies 50 kilometres inland along the river Weser. At the river's mouth lies the city of Bremerhaven, which is, as its name indicates, Bremen's harbour. These two cities form the geographical discontinuous German land of the free Hanseatic city of Bremen.
Is that a bollocking? Feels like it.
It does a bit, doesn't it?
He does describe it as a bollocking, but I'm not going to accept it.
Reflecto bollock.
Why, what's your contention?
On what grounds?
Well, because contained within his very own bollock is the antidote to the bollock, which is that these two cities form the geographically discontinuous German land of the free Hanseatic city of Bremen. Mm. So he's saying it is Bremen.
Yes, it's very often. It's snake poison. Very often the antidote is contained within the poison or within the bollock itself. All you need to do is take a little bit of it out and mix it in with some
Microdosing a bollock.
You have to microdose it.
Because has he not sort of said Bremen's not a port city? It's two cities which are also called Bremen.
Which includes a port.
Yeah. Come on, give your head a wobble, Eduardo.
Give your head a wobble.
Sorry, Eduardo, I think you've hoist yourself by your own bollock there.
Will and Erin from Melbourne email. Hi, Beans. My wife Erin and I were listening to your high-calibre lukewarm banter in your recent volcano episode whilst we bunkered down overnight in a cabin on Mount Fuji.
What?
Ooh,
that's cool.
Before climbing up to the summit for a sunrise only somewhat undercut by the gradual loss of feeling in our hands. I hope because of cold.
Not because of the podcast. We have had people, haven't we? We have had people emailing and saying they do lose their sensation in their hands. Or
yeah, it's a bit like it's the new sort of Cuba syndrome, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
What's the old Cuba syndrome?
When someone was sort of pumping weird microwave transmissions into the
right.
American embassies in Cuba and other places. Do you not remember this?
No.
A story from a few years ago. Kind of sound wave attack.
And would make their hands go numb.
They'd get all kinds of weird neurological symptoms
yeah.
and would sometimes have to be sent home. And it was happening, it started in Cuba, and everyone thought it was the Russians, but no one really knew. And then it started happening in other American embassies around the place. Big old hoo-ha. Lots of inquiries. Never solved. Someone came forward and thought it was a mass delusion.
It's uncanny, isn't it, the amount of comparisons with three bean salad, because people affected by Havana syndrome, Mike.
That's
Havana
it.
Syndrome. People affected by Havana's symptom described symptoms such as hearing loss, memory loss, and nausea, which are all symptoms that
yeah.
listeners to our podcast experience.
A lot of our listeners taking early retirement.
Yeah. Speculation centered around a sonic weapon. We have been described as a form of uncontrolled sonic weapon, haven't we?
That should be banned.
Will and Aaron say, we just wanted to say thank you for the laughs and lay claim to the highest altitude beanheads, brackets non-aircraft category.
Oh, nice.
So has anyone listened to Three Bean Salad in a non-aircraft context at a higher altitude than the top of Mount Fuji? That's what we need to know. But currently, I'd say Will and Aaron are the front runners.
Don't take any risks in order to try and...
No, and also, arguably, if you are going at a higher altitude, it's you're probably better off concentrating on the task in hand rather than...
Although, we know. Have heard that the podcast is more enjoyable if you are suffering from...
if you've got hypoxic brain injury.
With any form of cranial hypoxia. And also, while experiencing... advanced hypothermia.
Well, Everest is littered with these bodies, aren't they? With the headphones in, the latest episode of Fruitcake Salad playing.
Yeah. Because what happens is you start to feel the opposite of how you should feel. So you start to feel hot when you're cold. So that's why often they'll be found with a few king prawns on a stick.
Hang on, what? You feel the opposite of how you should feel. So you start. So before they didn't want prawns, but now they do want prawns.
You should never eat prawns sourced from deep in the Himalayas. Everyone knows that, but they think they should get prawns. So it's classic stuff.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, some of the richer explore prawns now will pay to go up on. I mean, they're not genuine explorers, a lot of them. So there's a lot of controversy around it, but you will find prawns, some sort of entrepreneur prawns.
And you really should be concentrating on getting out of there alive, calling for help. A lot of them will, at that point, sign themselves up for cello lessons. A lot of the bodies there are enrolled in adult music classes.
Sometimes they'll join our Patreon. That's not going to help them.
Exactly. That's a lot of our subscribers.
Yeah.
Himalayan corpses.
And the final one from Alfie. We mentioned nominative determinism a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
Alfie says, "Hi Beans, a local police officer used to come into my school and do various talks about drugs, cycling safety, not jumping off bridges and whatnot. His name was PC Justice."
Yes!
"No one ever said anything about it, which drove me mad. Thanks, Alfie."
Oh wow, I hope he made it to Inspector.
Right, it's the end of the series. And before we go, a little plug for our live shows at the London Podcast Festival. We were going to be doing two. They sold out really fast, so they've asked us if we would like to do a third show, and we said yes. Rather than go through all the details of how you can get tickets here in the middle of the podcast, I'm going to put it at the end after the theme tune.
I've got a plug, please. This is my friend Celia AB, superb comedian who's doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe this summer, which is 2023, in case you're listening years in the future. So at the Edinburgh Fringe, at the Pleasance Beside, it's called Second Rodeo. It's brilliant, and it's on every night at the Fringe at 7:30 p.m. And if you're in Edinburgh, you should go and see it. And if you're not in Edinburgh, you should try and get to Edinburgh and go and see it, because it's superb. Celia AB, do it.
And are the rumours true, Mike, that you may have had the smallest of hands in this show?
Well, she's declared me as having directed it, but the reality is I've mostly just been a kind of sounding board and cheerleader, to be honest. It's all her. It's a really, really brilliant show, and I've just occasionally gone, yeah, it's great.
I can concur that she's excellent, because I saw her last show. It was brilliant.
I've never seen her do a live show. I can neither confirm nor deny. Thank you to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear more of us talking about the topic of oats, or indeed any other topic that we've done this month, you can do on our monthly bonus episode, which will be coming out at the end of the month. There are various tiers you can sign up at. You can get no adverts. You can get the bonus episode. And at the third and highest tier, the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout out from Mike in the Sean Bean Lounge, where you were last night, Mike.
Certainly was, Ben. Because last night, of course, it was the
summer German Christmas market.
Indeed it was. Thank you, Benjamin. And here's my report. It was the summer German Christmas market last night at the Sean Bean Lounge, and though it was a cool July evening outside, the entire lounge was heated to an almost intolerable but on-theme 27 degrees Celsius, thanks to Hannah Petrie Hay firing up the Sean Bean boiler and hoiking Andrew Walters' family lignite coal mountain into the furnace, as well as the highly combustible body hair of Duncan Wright, Nick Schwartz and John Fleming, and Helen Alexandra's Lucky Flags of Old Prussia collection. Asher Stevens opened the frosted glühwein stall, while Liz Ferguson sprayed the lounge with 4 tons of the snow of the summer, sand, and the evening was a go. Amy Schreiber Spears' Christmas Porcelain Swimwear Stall was a huge hit, despite stiff competition from Matthew Moteur's Sheepskin Bikini Kiosk. Benjamin Hallam delighted with his Nuremberg-style prune people beach volleyball nativity, but was quickly overshadowed by Lauren's deep Christmas red Dresden-style Christmas pyramid, built from the heavily sunburned bodies of Leo Ferguson, Simon Todd, Daniel Maloney and Martin Wiggins, all of whom clearly failed to spot Sandra Epic and Amy Rogers moving around the crowd with free eggnog sun cream squirt bags. Tanya Poole threw too much of Kira's ice-cold hot cider down her throat, collapsed through Ollie Risby's Kartoffelpuffer Baywatch snowman, which smashed into Susan C's Pfaffengluck sorbet wreath, and obliterated Gentori Fasuto's Schnupfnudeln Lilo stand. Music came in the form of a live rendition of the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds album in the Oompa style, with Jess Garner on sax and tuba, Agent Yellow UK on traditional clarinet and non-traditional arse cornet, Ella on gingerbread accordion, and Will Myers on double-reeded bockwurst. Andrew White, Thomas Welch and Adam Shaw attempted to get some close harmony summer carols going, but Emily Edmondson deployed her sacred right to veto unsolicited male a cappella intrusions, and they were forced to go to the gents and sing into a fat Bavarian mug. Lindsay Pope stole a strawberry-scented handcrafted wooden ornamental nutcracker candle from Tristan D'Souza's Shitpants Panic last-minute Christmas gifts, even though it's actually still summer stall. And Katie Coey's homemade Thuringian sunglasses were so opaque, she accidentally boiled, sliced, and served what she thought was a mega summer vice first, but was actually an overly schnitzeled and unrousable Callum Knott. Thanks all.
Okay, that's the end of the podcast and the end of the series.
Thank you.
We'll be back with series 10. What?
Oof. Crazy.
In September.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go, time to play a version of our theme tune sent in by one of you. And this is from Max. Dear Ben, Henry and Mike, I was inspired to record a trumpet fanfare jingle.
Oh, yes.
For you to play at the end of the show. I call it Summon the Beans.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Max. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Max. Thank you, everybody. Summer well, one and all.
Summer well.
And see you in September.
Bye. That was great. Okay, as promised, here's the details of our extra live show at the London Podcast Festival. It's on the 17th, which is the Sunday, 17th of September at 2 p.m. For tickets, the Patreon pre-sale for these tickets will start at midday, that's British time, British summertime, I guess, on Thursday, and then general release will go on sale at midday on Friday. And also, just like the other two shows, you can get a live stream ticket if you'd like to watch it as a live stream. A ticket link will be sent to all of our Patreons, and if you're trying to get tickets on general release, the place to go on Friday at midday is kingsplace.co.uk. kingsplace.co.uk. Thank you.